Corporation presents the second of two programs on seizure disorders. Nursing Care in Seizure Disorders, Part 1. When caring for patients with seizure disorders, the nurse must be prepared to counter widespread misconceptions. Not only are the patient and his family frequently uninformed or misinformed, but so too may be hospital personnel. The area of seizure disorders is greatly in need of unbiased health education. In the not-too-distant past, persons with seizure disorders were often believed to be possessed by the devil and were socially ostracized with implications of insanity or criminality. Attempts to conceal their illness to avoid exposure and social rejection generated feelings of shame and guilt. Though increasingly less prevalent, attitudes still persist that those with seizure disorders are somehow set apart, with something lacking or inferior about them. And the tendency persists, too, for the seizure-prone patient to regard himself as at least seriously disadvantaged. The Greek word for seizure is epilepsy. The Greeks felt the disorder was sacred, and many epileptics became priests or oracles. However, the great physician Hippocrates correctly recognized epilepsy as a disease of the brain and used the term to denote a condition which seized the patient. Today, in discussing seizure disorders, the word epilepsy is commonly reserved only for idiopathic seizures, those of unknown etiology. When the cause of seizures has been diagnosed, the disorder is properly called symptomatic. It is well to remember that while seizure disorders are sometimes associated with mental deficiency, they are common in people with average intelligence and are believed to have been suffered by such geniuses and intellects as Socrates, Julius Caesar, St. Paul, Martin Luther, and Tchaikovsky. If the patient is assigned to a room where there are one or more other patients, prepare the others in the unit for his admission. Explain that the new patient may have a seizure and that there are many kinds of seizures, some involving convulsions. Try to ascertain their attitudes about seizures and adjust your explanation accordingly. Because a stigma adheres to certain words, choose your words carefully. Seizure, seizure disorder, and attack may be more suitable than epilepsy or fit when talking with non-medical people. Since professional observation and assessment is important to the diagnosis, ask the other patient to call for medical assistance immediately should he suspect any seizure activity in the new patient. Reassure the patient and his family that while seizures are alarming, they are rarely dangerous beyond the possibility of self-injury that may be inflicted during a convulsion, a possibility that is markedly decreased if the nurse is called promptly to protect him. If a bite stick is provided, explain its function to the seizure patient, expressly attaching no stigma to its use. Explain the types of diagnostic procedures which may be ordered and orient him to hospital routine. Find out if the patient has noticed a preliminary warning phase or aura in his attacks, and ask him to try to let you know immediately, during their course if possible, if any such phenomena appear. In taking the nursing health history, be receptive to any patient or family illnesses, injuries, or congenital peculiarities that the physician may find useful in diagnosis or treatment, or that should be considered in the patient care plan. Remember that the patient who has had a seizure has undergone an extremely traumatic and fatiguing experience. So too has his family. They will all need emotional support and sympathetic understanding from the medical team. The patient may be painfully aware and overly self-conscious about the embarrassment and uneasiness he feels his seizures may cause others. Try to help him deal with such feelings. He is, after all, simply exhibiting symptoms of a physical disease. If deeper psychological needs are observed, The physician may seek psychiatric consultation for the patient. Because he is insecure, the seizure patient may demand excessive nursing attention. Reassure him. Explain what his schedule is and what is expected of him while he's a patient. The seizure patient, especially the patient with recurring seizures, is sometimes sweepingly described as emotionally labile, egocentric, tempestuous, selfish, moody, and manipulative. Such behavior characteristics are, however, frequently seen also in physically healthy persons whose emotional needs are incompletely met. It should be recognized, of course, that recurring seizures may preclude or inhibit suitable self-realization. Seizures may be triggered by an enormous variety of stimuli. Even the buildup of anxiety over the possibility of a recurrent attack may sometimes trigger that attack. Grand mal attacks frequently include, as their first phase, a difficult-to-describe sensation called an aura, which varies for each patient. The aura may or may not immediately precede succeeding phases. Lasting no longer than a second or two, it may yet warn the patient of the convulsions to come. The aura may be followed by a hoarse cry when a thoracic and abdominal spasm expels air through the narrowed spastic glottis. Consciousness is lost, and the patient drops with no effort at self-protection. Injuries are frequent. At first, the body is rigid, jaws fixed, hands clenched, legs extended. This tonic phase ordinarily lasts 15 seconds or so. Keep his head flat and turn to one side, if practicable, to promote an open airway. If possible, and if it is locally approved, place a bite stick between his back teeth to prevent tongue chewing. But do not risk dental or facial injury, or injury to yourself, by attempting to force entry. Pad such area as is feasible to reduce the possibility of injury. Hold the patient's head gently, but do not attempt to restrain his convulsions. Restraint can cause bone and muscle trauma. As the attack continues, the patient's breathing ceases, his respiratory muscles being in spasm, and he becomes cyanotic. Assure his privacy as soon as possible. Loosen any constricting or constraining clothing to promote an open airway, allow for convulsive movement, and permit observation of respirations. Stertorous breathing shortly resumes, but respiratory difficulty, combined with excessive saliva secretion or retention, may cause frothing at the mouth. Convulsive seizures usually last less than 2 minutes and rarely more than five. As clonus slows and stops, turn the patient on his side to help drain any fluid secretions. At the termination of a convulsion, the patient may be in a deep stupor from which he cannot be aroused for 4 or 5 minutes. Bladder control usually and bowel control occasionally is lost during a grand mal attack. If undisturbed after he has been made comfortable, the patient may sleep as long as several hours. He should not, however, be left unobserved, since the danger of recurrent seizures is always present. Physician's orders and hospital policy will dictate whether or not side rails are to be raised. This concludes part 1.